Okay, so it's another double parsha this week. We have Achrenos Kedoshim. If I were to tell you that that it makes sense that we read Parshas Achrenos on Yom Kippur, you'd probably say yes, it makes perfect sense, right? Because the beginning of Parshas Achrenos is all about the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, and in fact, we do read it for the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur and Shachris, the beginning of Achrenos. However, the end you would not think should belong in Yom Kippur when we talk about the Arayos. It happens to be interesting. I think Rabbi Reisman once pointed out that he just noticed for the first time a couple of years ago in being Mavre Sedra, how long does it take the Chumash to let you know that we're talking about Yom Kippur, you know, from the beginning of Achrenos? You know, you just keep reading the Psukim, see how many Psukim in. Meaning it tells you what happens, the whole Avodah, but you know, it doesn't tell you, like, see how long it takes till it tells you. But anyway, that's not the point over here. The end of the parsha has no connection whatsoever to Yom Kippur, and yet we use it as a Kriyas HaTorah for Mincha and Yom Kippur. So you would think that there's got to be some connection to the day. So the Torah tells us that what's the consequence of violating Arayos? So the Torah itself says that the land is going to vomit you out. V'taki Aretz es Yoshveha, they will vomit out its inhabitants. So considering that Schar V'Onesh in the Torah typically is governed by the concept of Mida Keneged Mida, I would have imagined that if there's an Avera for which, or a failure, a religious failure for which the land will vomit you out, I would imagine that that would be some sort of mitzvah related to the land. Like, let's say if a person did not do the mitzvah Satzlius Baretz, then the land will vomit you out. You don't belong in the land if you don't know how to do the land-related things. But what exactly is the connection between Arayos and the land vomiting me out? So this, if it sounds like a good kasha, it is. It's the Ramban's kasha. And in fact, the Ramban's answer to this kasha may be one of the five most famous Rambans in all of Chumash. Rabbi Razner always likes to say, top five Ramban. He says it about 20 Rambans or so. But top five Ramban. This is like, what are the best? He gets very excited. So question number one is, what exactly, the Ramban's kasha, what exactly is the mitzvah atzliyos? Why is it a mitzvah atzliyos beguf, something that the land is going to throw me out for? Question number two. We're in the period of time where we're being misabel over the death of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. So one of the most famous stories about Rabbi Akiva is told in Avos Rabbi Nassim, that Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd, he was Nama Aretz, the age of 40, didn't know Aleph Beis, and he's sitting by a brook, and he sees this steady trickle of water hitting a rock, and he sees that over time a hole had been carved out by the dripping of the water, and he wondered to himself, how could that be? Water is able to... And he came to the conclusion that if something as soft as water can carve a hole in a solid rock, that the words of Torah can have an impact on me as well. The Divrei Torah can have, which are Kashim Kabarzel, water is soft, but Divrei Torah Kashim Kabarzel for sure should be able to penetrate my being. And therefore he decided that he was going to become a Talmud Chacham, and he was wildly successful in that endeavor. Right? From the Kotzim of the Osios. So wonderful, great story. In fact, his Torah knowledge dwarfed that of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara tells us Moshe Rabbeinu was asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me dar v'dar shav, and Hashem sits him in the back of Rabbi Akiva's classroom, because that's where he belonged, in the back of the classroom. He wasn't even one of the better students, and he had no idea what Rabbi Akiva was talking about. And Moshe Rabbeinu had Chalisha Sadas, until finally someone asked Rabbi Akiva a question, and Rabbi Akiva said, ah, halacha l'moshe misinai. And Moshe Rabbeinu felt better about himself. Okay, lovely story. But the point is that Rabbi Akiva was wildly successful. Now, in order to be that level of success, that level of godless in Torah, the classic shmooze that you always get is, you don't have to be a genius to be a Talmud Chacham. You just need to work hard, you need to be a masmid, you need a chazer, it's true. All of those things are true to be a Talmud Chacham. To be a gadol of that caliber, I haven't seen it yet with a non-genius. Meaning, you're not going to be, one of my rebbeim once told me when he was trying to tell me I should go into chinuch, said, look, you're never going to be Rav Shechter. You know, he's like, it's not, you know, But you could be, you know, he gave other examples, but he said, you know, but he said, I mean, it's just mishumadik that a person has that level of genius. It's totally, meaning it's genius. There are plenty of geniuses that totally squander their genius and don't do anything with it. There are geniuses that that rely too heavily on the genius. And then there are geniuses that work day and night for, you know, learning Torah Yom Belayla with every spare moment for 84 years, right? And those are the geniuses that become the Gedolim. Rabbi Akiva was probably a genius. He was probably a super duper genius. Why was it so hard for him to imagine that Torah would be able to penetrate? I mean, he's saying, I'm an Amharic, I don't know anything. So he couldn't imagine that he would ever be able to be successful in Torah, that he would ever be able to be successful in learning. I would imagine whatever he did, he was successful. And he was probably the best shepherd around. He probably figured out a way to get the sheep to do whatever shepherds are supposed to get sheep to do. Right? He probably, you know, he was probably a brilliant shepherd. He was a genius in everything, I would imagine. Why was it so hard? Oh, because I see the water. Now I know that I'm going to be smart enough to learn Torah. Well, what exactly are we supposed to take from there? Also, third question. One of the most fundamental mitzvahs in the entirety of Torah is v'chai behem. You're not supposed to die with the Torah. You're supposed to live with the Torah, with rare exceptions. And in fact, the Gemara derives minayin lepikuach nefesh adoches v'shabbos am rav yom shmuel d'chsev v'shmartim eskukosai v'shmartai asher yasos ha'adam v'chai behem v'lo sheyamos behem. Why is it that I tell the guys I'm allowed to go on calls on Shabbos? Because v'chai behem, pikuach nefesh, is doche Shabbos. So the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha in the second paragraph of Shabbos, halacha gimel, the Rambam writes, v'asur l'smameya b'chil Shabbos l'chol ha'sheyesh b'sakar. You're not even allowed to delay, that if there's a pikuach nefesh situation, jump on it right away. Gotta be m'chal Shabbos. Sh'ne'emar sh'yaso osam adam v'chai behem v'lo sheyamos behem. Halamadita, then the Rambam ends with a little flair. He says, what you see from here is she'ein mishpatei haTorah nekama bi'olam ela rachamim v'chesed v'shalom. That the mishpatei haTorah are not like God's way of getting revenge on us. Like, oh, let's see, how can I torture them today? I can, you know, which of the 613 ways can I torture them? No, it's rachamim, it's chesed, it's shalom, it's all goodness. I had an experience yesterday, a very prominent and successful OBGYN had texted me a shaila, and it was a very sensitive kind of situation, but it happens to be it was a shaila that I've had before, and I had spoken it over with Rav Schachter a few times, so I was able to answer immediately. So I said, you know, Rav Schachter holds that this is a Kavod HaBrios issue, even though it doesn't seem like a Kavod HaBrios issue, but whatever, I'm not going to get into the details, certainly not while being recorded, but you know, so she immediately responds back to me, the Torah is amazing. It is so sensitive and kind. And like that, you know, like just had that moment where she's like, I knew the Torah would respond to this in the right way. Meaning like I knew the Torah would, there would be some you know, the Torah is chesed, it's rachamim, it's shalom. Beautiful Rambam, no, it's rachamim, it's chesed, shalom. Problem is it's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel says, ha'omer al kan tzipor yagiru rachamecha mishaskin oso, that you say, oh, the Torah is so kind to the mother bird. You have to be quiet. And the Gemara explains why. It's not rachamim, it's gzeros. It's like, I've mentioned in the past, when you start learning Hilchos Nida, so you tell the chasana, the Gemara Nida says that we observe Nida so that Kadesh Techaviv al Bailuk Shaskin Sasa Luchuba. But then you have to say, and guess what? Even when it's not making Rechaviv al Bailuk Shaskin Sasa Luchuba, even when it stinks for Shalom Bayis, you know what? You still have to do it. You still have to observe the halacha. You know why? Because it's a gzeir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whether it's working or not, it's a gzeir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Torah is. So how could the Rambam say? The Rambam is using the words that the Gemara says not to use. Ela rachamim. That the Torah is rachamim. So I think that it's helpful to take a step back and understand the unique benefits that a life of Torah mitzvahs provides a person with. You know, there are two levels that are obvious, and then there's a third level I saw in the writings of Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks that I never thought of before. The first level that's obvious, most fundamentally, why are mitzvahs so important? Because Hashem said so, meaning this is the word of God. So the word of God is important not only to study, but to carry out in the world, right? Obvious. Right? Right? Why is it Gadol Mitzuv Yosef Yosef Mishena Mitzuv Yosef? So Drash Saran gives a few explanations. Tosus gives an explanation. All the Mishonim give one of the explanations given by the Ritva and the Drash Saran is that because if God commanded you to do it, it means He wants you to do it. If He didn't command that person to do it, it means He doesn't really care that much if that person does it. And life is about carrying out the Word of God. So the Word of God itself, that's it. The Gezeiros. Then, second level, which also is probably intuitive to us, is that the mitzvot HaTorah are intended to transform our personalities and our character. They're supposed to letzarif ben esabrios. It's meant to refine us, to make us better people. And that you get the sense of as well, right? The greatest gedolim in our history, starting with Moshe Rabbeinu, even starting before this, starting with Avraham Avinu, were always the most humble people. And of course, humility is the most important midah. Every Musar Sefer will say it, including Pirkei Avos, that humility is the most important midah. And that's why the Bali Torah were always the most humble people, because they always had the greatest midos. The third level was a little bit new to me. I just never thought of it. Rabbi Sachs suggests, he has a book called I Believe. He used to write a book every single year. He would take some time off in the summer and he would write an entire book every summer. And after he died, his editor confessed that she had the easiest job in the world. She never even had to move a comma. Like he handed in like perfect manuscripts every single time. So in the book I Believe, he writes that the mitzvot HaTorah are a prescription for the construction of a society with a God consciousness. Meaning, Hashem wants us to, and this is a very Hu Haya Omer kind of art, Hashem wants us to be a role model for humanity, not only in that, oh, look, that person's about Ashrei Yeladito, you know, that Shalom Do Torah, that the person is so good, that they're such a refined person. It's more than that. The kind of society that B'nai Torah are supposed to build should reflect on the Torah. The texture of the society that we build should be governed by justice, by the rule of law, by concern for the poor, by concern for the marginalized, by taking care of those who are vulnerable and those who are weak. That's the kind of society. Those are the things that we discuss in the halls of power when we have them, when we have those the opportunity to mold a society. So it's more than my personal success in becoming a better person, it's more than I'm fulfilling the word of God. The world that we build as a community, as a society, is a society that reflects Torah. And that's what the Chumash said. I mean, it's a psukim in Parshas Va'eschanan. It says, "Bekerav Haaretz Asher Atam Bo'im Shama." Well, when we do the Chukim Shpatim, "Bekerav Haaretz Asher Atam Bo'im Shama L'Rishta," so we're going to demonstrate Chachmaschem Uvinaschem Le'inei Amim, and it's going to cause people to say, "Rak Am Chacham V'Navona Goya Gadol Azev," that Shmiras HaMitzvos are fulfillment of Dvar Hashem, that are a way to build and transform a person. But when done collectively, they're a way to build and transform an entire society that serves as Chach Maskam Vinaskam L'Kalam. And that maybe could go back to answer the questions we started with. To understand the Rambam waxing poetic on the Pasuk of V'chai Behem, the Torah Tmima raises that kasha. And Torah Tmima says, V'tzorach lomar b'kavanasam, d'lo she mitchila nasnu alpi midas harachamim, ela she yesh behem rachamim chesed v'shalom ba'olam, v'chein mora l'shonam. No, we're not saying Hashem gave these mitzvahs to us because out of a sense of rachamim. We don't believe that the purpose of the mitzvahs so Hashem can show compassion, but we believe that the result of mitzvahs is that we are transformed into compassionate people. That when we observe the mitzvahs, compassion is something that is brought into this world to a much larger degree. Rabbi Akiva was a genius. He knew that the Torah could penetrate his brain. A person of that intellect probably is at least smart enough to understand that they're gifted, right? But he doubted the Torah's ability to penetrate his heart. The transformative moment at the rock brought him to the recognition that the same person who was so callous, Psach Mem Tes, where he says, if I was given the opportunity, I would bite off, you know, bite a Talmud Chacham like a donkey or whatever, however donkeys bite, I imagine pretty viciously, that he, such a person could become so sensitive that his motto in life is going to be, V'haftal Re'echa Kamocha Zeklal Gadol B'Torah. Such a person is going to be so sensitive to giving credit to other people that he's going to be the guy that says, Shaliv Shalachem Shalahi. That was hard to transform my personality. That was hard for him to believe. Meaning, of course I'm a genius. Yeah, of course I'm. But to transform me, that was the moment at the rock. But that transformative effect on the individual is really just the beginning. When Jews form a majority and have national sovereignty, as we've only ever had in Eretz Yisrael and nowhere else in 4,000 years of history, we could build a society where HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Judaism are part of the very culture. You know, that's the big chil Hashem of our ka'os, right? You know, you're not allowed to go to our ka'os. So chutzlars is one thing. The fact that we have an Israeli Supreme Court that does not run LP anything in Torah, it's not only the Haredi rabbis that aren't happy about it. The Dati Lumi rabbis are really unhappy about it because they see religious value in the state. It's a chil Hashem when we have an opportunity to build a society with Torah and we move away from that. So back to the Ramban. The Ramban asks the Kasha, why does the land spit us out when we do sins of Arayos? What does Arayos have to do with the land? So the Ramban, one of the top five Rambans, says that the reason failures in Arayos lead to our expulsion from Eretz Yisrael is that Eretz Yisrael is the place where mitzvos are meant to flourish. We're obligated to do mitzvos everywhere, but they're not really fully realized everywhere. They're fully realized, their full impact is realized when we can build a culture, when we can build a society, not a subculture like we do in pockets, in wherever we are, in Lakewood, in the Five Towns, in whatever, you know, in Tina, wherever we are in Chutz Laretz. No, we can build an actual culture. And even the most private and highly personal shortcomings of Arayos have an impact on us and in turn have an impact on the society that we try to build. So you might be thinking to yourself, I don't remember that Ramban. It's one of those, I'll tell you how you've probably heard it. Mitzvos, says the Ramban, the way you've heard it, in Chutz Laretz is just practice. But in Eretz Yisrael, that's it, right? Sounds more familiar now? Yeah, you've heard it. Okay, good. So that's what the Ramban's saying. It only has the ability to truly flourish in Eretz Yisrael. You know, we're constantly given reminders of how we don't belong here in Chutz Laretz. You know, that this is not the goal. This is not the end game. Jews in America eventually... exactly when it's going to happen that Jews are no longer going to be in America or no longer welcome in America, we don't know exactly, but we see it, at least small signs of it, but at the same time we should realize that even absent all the anti-Semitism, even absent any alarmist kinds of we better make Aliyah now or else, that's not the reason we make Aliyah. Not because of or else. I don't think that's the reason we should make Aliyah. There are other reasons. Not the or else. But we should just realize, just in terms of the ability of Torah to flourish and to create what it's supposed to create, on a personal level, the Torah to impact me, to impact you, to impact us personally, to transform our personalities, it could do that in Chutz Laretz the same way it could do that in Eretz Yisrael. On a Dvar Hashem level, on fulfilling the mitzvahs other than the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you could do that in Chutz Laretz. On a transformative society level, on that third level, there's only one place that could happen. And that can only be in Eretz Yisrael. So that's my late Yom HaTzmut speech.